WalletHub.com posted an article this week entitled 2018's Most Sinful States in America. In order to determine the most sinful states, WalletHub compared the 50 states across seven key dimensions: anger and hatred, jealousy, excess in vices like alcohol or drugs, greed, lust, vanity, and laziness. And so your 2018 national champion most sinful state in America is the state of Florida. Florida is judged as the most sinful state in America. Now, in the top 11 are also Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Alabama. Can we all say SEC? SEC, right? I'm just not sure we actually want to win this contest, though. In case you're wondering, Mississippi was ranked number 16. We were 49th in terms of vanity, which is measured by per capita number of beauty salons and plastic surgeries and personal care products sold, you know, per number of people we have in the state. But we were number 3 in both laziness and lust. Vermont was number 50 in lust. I'm not sure what that says about Vermont. Well, maybe I do know what that says about Vermont, right? But I probably shouldn't go there. Sin is expensive. Let's just move on. Sin is expensive. Harmful behavior on the individual level, the study said, can add up to staggering economic costs on the national side. Gambling costs in the U.S. cost $5 billion a year. Smoking in the U.S. cost the U.S. over $300 billion a year. But here's the question. How do you measure the cost of lost marriages and wrecked friendships and divided communities and wounded souls with anxiety and depression and self-hatred and lost hope and destroyed dreams? The Bible says the cost is extraordinarily high. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, if you've ever watched Animal Planet or the Discovery Channel, you know that a lion does not roar before it kills. The lion only roars after. Before, the lion lurks in the shadows and hides in the bushes and makes you think everything is okay and you're all good, but you're not. I sat across from a guy one time that was in jail for killing two people. Only time in my knowledge that I know I've ever done that, but I sat across from a guy who had killed two people. And he said, you know, I used to sit in church thinking that I had my drug use under control, thinking I could handle it, but I thought wrong. How about you? How are you doing, Oxford? How are you doing, Starkville, Madison and Clinton, everybody watching online, watching the live stream? How are you doing? How about everybody at the Res campus? How are you doing when it comes to anger and bitterness and jealousy or gluttony? How are you doing when it comes to the use or abuse of alcohol and drugs or greed or debt or lust or laziness or pride or vanity? Chances are there are a lot of us here today, maybe you're struggling and you feel like you're fighting a losing battle. But I want you to hear today that there is hope for you. There is hope. You have a spiritual weapon, and that weapon we're learning is called prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught his disciples about kingdom life and living, and he said part of that is learning to pray. And when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth even as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 13, our text for today, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or a better translation is from the evil one. Jesus taught this last prayer principle in this verse. It's the power of and the principle of deliverance. God, through prayer, can deliver you from temptation and free you from the hold of the enemy. Can we talk about that for a few minutes? Can we look at this verse, verse 13? Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And can we learn today to pray prayers of deliverance? Jesus taught you to pray two things. Number one, he said, pray to be delivered from temptation. Deliver us from temptation. Pope Francis, back in December of 2017, said he was contemplating changing the wording of the Lord's Prayer because that's a little troubling for many people, including him. He didn't really feel like it was good to say that the Lord could lead us into temptation, so he wanted to change the words of the Lord's Prayer to "Don't let us fall into temptation." Maybe you've had a similar thought. I think we should change the wording of the Lord's Prayer too. "Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm finding it all by myself." Pretty good, right? Come on. Most of us could say that. But here's where the confusion comes in a little bit, or the idea is we don't really understand what Jesus is actually teaching us. True enough, the word temptation is troubling, but it can mean one of two things. It can mean a test given to somebody knowing that they'll pass it, showing that you can prove that you are faithful. But it can also mean an enticement to sin and evil with the expectation that you're going to fail. Same word used different ways. We have the same thing, the word "married." You can use that word multiple ways. I'm married to Christy, but I've married a bunch of people. But I'm not married to any of them. I'm married to her. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I married her. I'm married to her, but I've married a lot of people. So you understand you can use the same word, and it means different things. Same word, same way the word "bad." That kid is bad. Right? Don't let your daughter near him. He's bad. Preacher's kids, right? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Only thing worse, a deacon's kid. Get your kids away from me. Bad. All right? But you can also say, "Man, that's a bad man right there, boy. Did you see?" Y'all know what I'm saying? So which one is it? Is bad bad or is bad good? It just depends on the context, right? The same way with this word temptation. James 1:2 says, "Consider it joy whenever you find yourself in many trials." It's the word that other places is translated temptation. God will allow you to go through trials because he knows you can make it. And his purpose is to build endurance and faithfulness and to reveal to you his faithfulness in the midst of it. But that same word is used about 11 verses later in James 1:13 in a different way. "Let no one say when he is tempted," same word. "When he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God." Here's what you need to hear. "For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and he's enticed by his own lust," or that word is "desire." Then when lust or desire out of control has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Two things I want you to see from James. Number one is God can't tempt you to sin. It says it in black and white. Scripture now is interpreting Scripture. When Jesus is praying, "Lead us not into temptation," he is saying, "God, I know you won't lead me into anything that is going to be evil for me. And so, God, I'm calling on you to deliver me from the attempts of the evil one, my flesh and the world, to lead me astray. God, you're delivering me from the way the enemy wants to tempt me. I know you'll allow me to be tested at times, but you'll never tempt me to do evil." God never tempts you. You need to write it down. He never tempts you. Number two, I want you to see in this scripture that temptation follows a predictable pathway every time. You have desires that are normal and they are good. Desire for food, desire for sex, desire for relationships. God gave you those desires and they are awesome desires, and he wants to bless you and help you with those desires. Temptation arises, James says, when that God-given desire gets enticed to go outside of God's plan and gets carried away with itself. And all you can think about is the desire. You fantasize about the desire. You convince yourself you can't live without it. What would one time hurt? You can quit whenever you want to. You're not going to get caught up, and you fixate on the desire. You convince yourself that you want it, that you need it. You have to have it. And so you act. Lust conceives and gives birth to sin, and you act. And sometimes the result is instantaneously disastrous, and there are maybe places where you've experienced that or you've seen that. But so often, many times, whenever you've chosen to get caught up and carried away and you've sinned, nothing happened, at least as far as you could tell. You got away with it, and so you did it again, but you began to establish appetites and neural pathways in your brain. Pathways that become automatic. Whenever you get stimulus, I'm going down this pathway. Neural pathways begin to be formed, and with every act, they get deeper and deeper and deeper. You lack self-control, and that leads to addictive behavior. It leads to compulsive things. It leads to a slow fade. But in the end, it always leads to the same place, and that is death. Death physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, the death of your freedom. Can we agree, Pine Lake, that everybody's going to be tempted? All right, let's just agree on a couple of things at the outset of this message. Everybody's going to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, right? Jesus was tempted. He didn't sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. I've heard it said you can't keep birds flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. You can't, temptation's going to come to you, but you don't want to let it have a place in you. The devil, the world, the flesh are going to come at you. It's going to happen. Number two, can we all agree? You can fall. Come on. You got to agree with it. You need to just say to yourself, sometimes you need to say out loud, I am capable. Oh, I'd never do that. Oh, yes, you would. Yes, you would. You give them the wrong circumstance or the right circumstance, the right part of your heart being messed up. Yes, you would. You need to acknowledge right now, I am capable of anything. An unguarded strength becomes a double weakness. The Bible says it this way, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You think you won't? You just became a target on your back. So you can fall. And look, a lot of you are so convinced of that that you've told yourself this lie. I must fall. I have to fall every time. No. Let me tell you, here's the third thing. You can stand. And this is the truth that I pray exposes the lie and pierces the darkness that's got you bound up today. You can stand in Christ. You can resist temptation and the tempter. You can stand. Jesus is teaching you to pray this way. Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for you to stand. The Father has given you a promise that anytime you're tempted, he's coming right beside it with a faithful backdoor way out for you to stand up. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you may be able or will be able to endure it. Some of y'all are thinking, well, not me, man. I just, you know, when it starts, you know, when I get that temptation, whenever I turn on the computer and that thing pops up, I can't help it. You remind me of the student pastor who was talking to some high school boys one day and he's trying to talk to them about being sexually pure, and the boys were protesting. One particular said, look, man, me and my girlfriend, whenever we're alone, we start making out, things start getting hot and heavy, man, we just can't stop. And the youth pastor said, okay, so things get hot and heavy, and then you get to a point where it's just on, it ain't going to stop. That's right. And he said, so let's suppose you and your girlfriend were at her house, her mom and dad going out for the night. Y'all are there, you're on the couch, start making out, things start getting hot and heavy. And you're at that point, man, where it's on. But about that time, her parents' headlights come whipping up into the driveway, and you hear them getting out of their car. They're on the way to the front door. They're home early. Could you stop? The kid said, well, yeah. He said, so is it that you can't stop or you won't stop? Now, come on, watch this. With every temptation, God is faithful and he's given you a way out. It may be a text message or a phone call. It may be somebody that saw you and caught a glimpse of you and you go, oh gosh, what was that? It may be that little still small voice inside of you that says, don't go there. But with every temptation, God is faithful. He is giving you a way out. It's not that you can't stop, you can. And you're going to learn today how to pray this prayer, God, deliver me, don't lead me into temptation. How does it start? Prayer. Prayer is your answer. When Jesus was tempted, he was tempted in all ways like we are. I think the hardest temptation of his life was the night that he was going to be betrayed and arrested and ultimately the next day crucified. He's in the garden, sweating drops of blood, praying to the Father, if there's any way, let it pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your name is Holy Father, Daddy. He's praying like he's teaching us to pray. And he says to his disciples on at least two, maybe even three occasions, listen, Matthew 26:41, keep watching and praying. Jesus is saying this to Peter, James, and John. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Jesus knows he's about to be betrayed and arrested, but he also knows they're about to face temptation to run away and hide. Jesus prays, he stands. They go to sleep and they all fall. How can prayer help you in the midst of temptation? It does two things. Number one, prayer acknowledges that the battle is real and present right now. Prayer acknowledges, man, I am in a spiritual war. I'm living in the flesh. I'm living in a flesh and blood world, but there is a spiritual reality around me. Many times we fall into temptation before we even realize we're being tempted. Y'all ever find that to be true? It's like you didn't even realize it until it's almost there upon you. You're just rolling along in your own little world and your own little way, and temptation hits you out of nowhere, and you're not ready and you're not prepared. When I played football in high school, my coaches used to tell me, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your head on a swivel. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. Until you get crackbacked one time. Come on, fellas. Can I get an amen or an oh me? If you've ever delivered that block, it's the most satisfying thing next to scoring a touchdown on the football field. But if you've ever received a crackback block where you were not looking and somebody blindsided you out of nowhere, it knocks you sometimes literally unconscious. You can't breathe for seconds and you think you're going to die. It is devastating. And you don't ever have to have anybody tell you, keep your head on a swivel again. Okay, listen, prayer is the way that you stay spiritually alert to the danger. Prayer keeps you awake spiritually and spiritually attuned. Prayer keeps you focused on the spiritual source and resources that you have. Prayer constantly, not I did that this morning, I'll do that later, but prayer all day keeps you from walking in and by your own strength and your own weaknesses. Prayer can deliver you from temptation. Secondly, prayer expresses your dependence on God to deliver you. God never told you, suck it up, be stronger. That's not it. He says, trust me, lean on me, let me guide you. So you're saying to God, help me. Whenever you call on God for his resources, he gives you at least three things. Number one, he'll give you his spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And that last one is self-control. Come on, for those of you who get carried away and caught up and it's a habit and I can't help it, self-control is the result of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to help it. He's going to help it. Ask the Holy Spirit in prayer. Secondly, he'll give you the word. Ephesians 6:17 says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Jesus resisted temptation. If you've ever read Luke 4, he resisted temptation every time he quoted a Bible verse. And so you can resist whenever you're praying, saying, God, let your word guard me. Psalm 119 verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Whenever you're praying on an ongoing basis and you're saying, God, fortify me, when temptation comes, boom, God will give you a word. God will give you the word. He'll give you the spirit. God will give you Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers. Yeah, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. Come on. Amen, preacher. Go ahead. It's some theology up in country music, right? Most of it bad, but Kenny got it right. Kenny got it right. There comes a point in time, in circumstances where you say, I don't need to be here anymore. The only thing left for me to do, I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to study anymore. The only thing left for me to do is get up out of Dodge. Amen. That's a biblical principle repeated many times. One of them is 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful lust. The word flee in the Greek means flee, run. Run from youthful lust and pursue, run after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Can I just say to you, come on, if you really want freedom, if you really want all that God has for you, then you're going to need to run from certain people in certain places, and you're going to need to start chasing after something positive with some people who love Jesus. You may need to run by leaving a situation. You may need to run by changing a routine or a habit. You may need to run by dropping a person or a relationship. You may need to run by beginning to look for a new job. But you need to pray, God, deliver me from temptation. Lead me not into temptation. Secondly, pray, deliver me from the evil one. God, before I ever give in, God, just lead me not there. Help me to stay pure. But secondly, pray, God, deliver me from the evil one. Some of y'all are thinking, man, it's too late for me. Chip, why couldn't you have preached this last night? Or why couldn't you have preached this last week? Or why couldn't you have preached this 10 years ago? For some of you, 20, 30 years ago. Because you've given in, you have fallen into temptation, you have fallen into a spiritual stronghold, and even now you feel like you can't get away. You're sitting here day by day and you feel tortured by guilt and shame and tape in your mind and weakness and fear and voices in your head that tell you there's no way out. And sin is costing you. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy and to devour. And you know that, but now you feel that, and now you live that. And I'm here today not to heap condemnation on you. No, you're hearing me wrong. hear me today say, man, there is hope for you. You don't have to live that way anymore. God is revealing to you a new day. God is revealing to you a new way and a new hope. Today, you can leave this place forgiven and free. You can walk out of here today unburdened and unbound. God today wants to let you walk out of this house standing in the fullness of all that he has for you. Here is the good news of hope for you today. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, not minimize them, not combat them, to destroy them. 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And so here is the truth. By the power of Jesus, released through prayer, you can break free from any stronghold the enemy has in or on your life. Your ability to withstand the enemy and live free is based on the finished work of Jesus. All power, all dominion, all authority belong to Jesus now, and it is Jesus who can set you free and who has freed you already in Christ. You just need to learn to stand in what you have. Okay, I want you to see it. I want you to see it in one of Paul's letters in the book of Colossians, okay? I'm going to kind of take you through three chapters real quick with just a couple of verses. The first verse is Colossians 1:13, where Paul says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, from the rule of darkness, from the rule of Satan, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. God in Jesus transferred you from the domain of darkness. You were traded. You ain't on the devil's team no more. You are now belonging to, you got a new jersey, you got a new life, you have a new leader. You are now in the kingdom of his Son. All right? Now watch this, Colossians chapter 2. How did he do that? Colossians 2:14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What is that certificate of debt? It's the list of every sin you would ever commit, past, present, or future. Every one of them written down and nailed to the cross. Jesus paid for it in full. And when he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. What does that say? It says Jesus not only forgave all your sin through his blood, but by his resurrection, he disarmed every power of the enemy. The enemy no longer has any authority or power. Jesus has it all, and the scripture tells us that you are now in Christ. Watch this, Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, when you place your faith in Christ, and you receive Christ into your life, and your sins are gone, and you're made new. Listen, whenever you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden. Watch this. Your life, Christian, is hidden with Christ where? In God. You now, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I have the board, which can only mean one thing. Three more circles, right? Y'all are like, bro, when will you draw something besides circles? When y'all get it. Okay, if you'll get it, I won't have to keep drawing them. I want to draw you three different circles, right? I've been drawing some circles for you. You're going to see, look, this is called the pathway of discipleship, where it's not in here, man. It begins to be your life, or you not only know it, you recognize it, but you own it, and it owns you. Your salvation is in Jesus. Your identity is in Jesus. Your life is in Jesus, and you have authority in Jesus, and I want you to see it, okay? Based on what these verses have just told us, three new circles. Big circle, because God is big, and so this represents God. God has all authority and all power, unrivaled, unequaled. Agreed? Come on, y'all do better than that. God has all authority, right? Unrivaled, unequaled. Come on now. Y'all with me? Now, we also know that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, right? Three in one. Three in one. And so, though this is not probably going to be proportionately accurate for the sake of illustration, a third of the Godhead is Jesus, the Son, right? So Jesus is part of the Godhead. So you got God, but Jesus is in God. And then what did Colossians 3, where did it say you are? You are hidden with Christ in God. Where are you now? Positionally, spiritually, where are you? You are hidden with Christ in God. So for the enemy to get to you, he has to go through the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. And God says, that ain't happening. For the enemy to get to you, he's got to convince you to somehow step outside of your authority and your protection. Come on, this ought to be a revelation for some of you, because you have this mindset that, you know, God's got power and the devil's got power, and I'm kind of in the middle, and man, the devil kind of wins sometimes, and I can't help but give in. No, that's bull. The enemy has two powers over you. He's disarmed, the scripture said. He's got two ways that he can try to trick you. One is lies, the other is fear. This is how he gets you to leave security and authority. He comes at you with lies, and he comes at you with fear. The enemy wants you to believe lies. Oh, God can't talk to you. You're not a preacher. You can't really understand the Bible. I mean, come on, man. Nobody understands how you feel. You'll never be good enough. You'll never find somebody else. You can't quit. You're going to be this way for the rest of your life. This is just who you are. God doesn't love you. Matter of fact, God rejects you because of all the stupid things. How could you have possibly? God is so disappointed in you. Those are all lies that the enemy brings at you to try to get you out of your position and authority in Christ. Can I just say something to you? It is impossible for you to disappoint an all-knowing God. God is not looking at you and seeing the foolish thing you just did and go, oh, myself. Right? Come on. I never thought she would do that. I never imagined my boy would do that. No. He knew. And he loved you anyway. He sent Jesus anyway. The enemy seeks to lock you down in a lie. He seeks to lock you down in fear. And some of you right now are paralyzed with fear, the fear of failure, the fear of the future, the fear of consequences, the fear of rejection, the fear of abandonment, the fear of the unknown, the fear that you're going to be lonely for the rest of your life if you let go of somebody, the fear that God's somehow going to let you down. Fear, 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 fear. You better leave. You better get out. It's his trick. He has no authority. All he can do is lie to you and try to prey upon your fears. But if he has fear and lies, listen, this is what you have: truth and love. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you, everybody say it, make you what?
Free.
Come on. God wants you today to see the truth, to have your eyes opened, your mind unbound, so that you begin to see who you really are and what God really did through Jesus. Not just getting you to heaven, but giving you life. If you could just see the truth about what Jesus has done, forgiven your sin, taken the curse, broken the power of the enemy. If you could just know the truth about who you really are, a child of God, righteous and holy. If you could just know the truth about what you now have, the Holy Spirit, heavenly authority, and every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's given to you now. 1 John 4:4, the verse we prayed a minute ago. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is the one, he who is in you, than the one who is in the world. 2 Corinthians 10:3, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word fortresses means strongholds. It's lies you have believed in your mind that the enemy has locked you down in. These lies that are raised up against the truth, the power of prayer, the power of Jesus destroys that. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How? By prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, your way is best. You love me, you are my provider, you are my forgiver. Forgive me, and Jesus, you can help me to forgive other people. That's the truth. Do you understand how this is not just a principle? All these principles begin to work together as you stand in the truth of what God has done for you and who you are. Truth and love. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, Abba, Father. God loves you. And you don't have to live in fear anymore. Not the fear of being rejected because you're accepted. Not the fear that God's going to somehow condemn you because Jesus has forgiven you. Not the fear of losing because Jesus has made you already an overcomer. God loves you perfectly, completely, unconditionally, and you cannot change it. God tells you, this is the truth, his word, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, some translations say, but of power and of love. God's spirit in you is love and discipline, love by which you cry out, Abba, Daddy, you're my father. God loves you. He doesn't condemn you. He's not mad at you. It's a spirit of power to free you. 1 John 4:18, there is no love in fear, but perfect love casts out fear. Come on, for some of you today, let it be a day where God just washes over you with his love. He loves you. He loves you. No matter how much you have condemned yourself, look, Jesus lifts that right up off of you and says, I love you. How do I experience that breakthrough? How can you experience spiritual breakthrough in your life? The answer is by prayer. But the verse I want to give you is James chapter 4, verse 7. Because this verse, I believe, outlines for us a way in which you can begin to experience spiritual freedom today, now. It says in James 4, 7, submit therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, it says submit therefore to God. The verse right before that says God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you try to do it on your own, God will oppose you. But if you'll humble yourself and say, God, I need you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. He'll give you grace. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. The very next verse says, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. So watch this. If you want to experience freedom today, at any point in the future, when you find yourself bound up in any way, you can follow this pathway. Number one, submit to God. God, I submit to you. You are the God of my life. You're the God of the universe. You're the King of the universe. Your name is holy. God, I surrender to you and I say, your kingdom and your will be done. I surrender my desires. I surrender my ways. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my weakness. I surrender everything. I surrender my marriage. I surrender everything about me, my career, my friendships, God, everything. I lay it before you and I just say, your way will always be best. I confess. God, surrender to you, I confess, and I say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Lord, would you forgive me right now of, and you may have to just say what those things are that you know may be blocking you and God in the moment, right? We got to get the limbs off the line. So, Father, for yelling or for screaming or for the attitude that I displayed or the envy in my heart or the jealousy or, God, the dishonesty that I had, God, clean it all, clean it all, clean it all. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Christ, clean it all. I'm surrendered to you. Cleanse me as your child. Number three, you speak and you renounce any spiritual stronghold or permission the enemy may have. You renounce any spiritual authority, any spiritual stronghold or permission in your life. You got to say this out loud, I believe, because the enemy cannot read your mind. He cannot read your mind. And so you need to say out loud, in spiritual authority, surrendered to God, right? You're taking your place. Look, watch this. You're taking your place. I'm surrendering to you. I'm confessing. I'm coming into alignment with who I am and where I am made to live. Now that I'm in that place, surrendered and confessed up and cleaned up, now with spiritual authority, I say any spirit of lust, any spirit of greed, any spirit of anger, any spirit of jealousy, any orphan spirit in me, any religious spirit in me, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for me, I command you to leave me. Go wherever God would tell you to go, but don't ever come back here. Amen. That's your authority as a child of God in prayer to speak that out. And then number four, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Jesus talked about whenever demons go out or when strongholds are broken, those demons go searching. You need to fill that void up now with the Holy Spirit so that if they ever come back knocking, the door is already closed and the house is already occupied. I surrender, I confess, and now in my spiritual authority, I renounce and remove any spiritual permission in my life through things that I have done. Holy Spirit, come and fill me, and the Spirit will do that. Jesus taught us to pray, Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Listen, today is a day of freedom. If you will stand in who you are and what you have in Jesus through prayer. Last summer, Mac Jeffress was set free by the power of prayer. It actually wasn't his own prayer. It was the prayers of his wife. Mac was involved in a long-term affair. His wife found out. She began to pray for him and about her marriage. Listen, she refused to take it sitting down. She stood in her spiritual authority and started refusing to let the enemy have her man or her marriage. And in prayer, though he was not even aware or around, she began to war in the spiritual places for her man. God brought him to church one day, and it was the prayer of a preacher visiting with us, where God used that prayer to shake him and awaken him and to set him free. I could tell you about it, but I'd really rather have Mac just tell you his own story. Would you turn your attention to the screen and hear Mac tell his story?
If you fail to see or fail to admit that the enemy is coming after you or has some hold on you, and you don't take the power that is yours in Jesus Christ and remove that off of you, then you will remain a slave to that. People are forgiven, but they're not free. They're saved, but they're not released.
My life was pretty ordinary. We lived in Madison, got a great house, great job, wife, two children, attended Pine Lake regularly. I was a deacon at the church, and it's where I always dreamed that I would be one day. So I guess life sort of fell into a little bit of monotony. I just began to feel a dissatisfaction that I couldn't really put a finger on it. This led to me believing lies from the enemy. Some of the lies that I believed and nurtured was that there's much more out there for you. There's a different kind of happiness. And I nurtured those lies and gave in to temptation. I began a long-term affair with another woman.
You know, there was a disconnect in our marriage, for sure. You know, I was just praying for healing. I was praying for restoration. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea, you know, this other life that Mac was living. And I didn't know how to pray because I didn't know what was going on. I knew that he was not sleeping. He was very distant.
In this journey, there was a time where all the things that I was living in the darkness came to light. And Melissa found out everything that had been going on. Melissa and I separated shortly after that, and I continued to live this adulterous affair even after that.
When I first found out about Mac's affair, I knew that it was a spiritual battle. I saw a darkness in him. I went to God. I mean, I fell on my knees, face first. I listened to worship music, and I just cried flat out on the floor, just praying at first for our marriage. You know, over time, my prayers changed, and, you know, I just felt that the Lord was prompting me not just to pray for our marriage, but to pray for Mac every single day, every moment of every day. I just prayed for his brokenness because I knew that I didn't want our marriage to be fixed if his heart wasn't right. And I knew that if God restored his life, then our marriage and our family and everything else would fall in line. I felt a lot of anger sometimes, just unbelief in that. A lot of anger, of course, towards Mac. But I also had just a peace from the Lord. And for a long time, the Lord was just telling me just to stand firm. And that's what I did.
All along, Melissa never stopped praying for me, and she never gave up on me. She prayed that I would be able to let go of this temptation that I had given into. She prayed that I would run from it. She prayed that I would remember all of God's promises. So on Sunday, July the 9th, you know, I started going back to Pine Lake Madison with Melissa, and she and I are sitting there in a service. There was a guest pastor, Alex Hamaya. Really, he talked about how God's people are forgiven but not set free. And all through that sermon, I just felt God stirring in my heart, and everything that he was saying, I took it in. At the end of the sermon, Alex Hamaya asked everyone if they had anything that was binding them to stand up so that he could pray a prayer over them. I knew that prayer was for me that day.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we command all spirits of sexual immorality to leave and get off the purity that belongs to Jesus Christ. Every spirit of sexual impurity, adultery, lust, pornography, fornication, every form of sexual immorality, you must go in the name of Jesus Christ.
And at that moment, I felt an immediate change within me. Monday morning, after that prayer that was prayed over me, the adulterous affair that I was having came to a crashing end. 2 days after that prayer, I was out of town in a hotel for work, and lying there in the dark, alone, I looked up and I saw a movement in the room. Right after that movement, I felt like there was a darkness that had left. I felt a deliverance, and the chains were broken at that point. I felt an overwhelming peace, and I began to feel all these affectionate feelings for Melissa that I had not felt in a long, long time. I began to see all the love she had for me from the very beginning. I began to see that she was the truth in all of this, and all the lies that I had believed in and that I had nurtured, they weren't real, and she was real. I felt so much love for her in that moment. I accepted responsibility for everything that I had done, whereas before I had wanted to push blame and find other ways to blame people. Melissa and I began a road of reconciliation. She had never stopped praying for me. She had never given up on me. And now our path was going down a road that she had been praying for all along.
Through all of this, I realized how real the enemy is, but more importantly, how big God is and how powerful God is and how real God is.
We know what the enemies are capable of, but more importantly, we know what God's capable of.
Come on, can we just thank God for his power to set a captive free? Right now, across every campus, right now, can we just bow our heads? Can we close our eyes? I want to lead you to experience, through the power of prayer today, your own deliverance and your own freedom. Look, we're going to learn to practice this thing that Jesus taught us to pray. I want to lead you, first of all, listen, this is the week where we're mourning the passing of Dr. Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham was a great evangelist. God used him to give a great message, and though Dr. Graham is gone, listen, his message is still true. Can I just say to you that God loves you. He loves you, and yet every one of us have sinned. And we need to acknowledge our sin before God, and we need to know that Jesus loves you, that God loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to die, to pay for your sins. He became your debt. He paid your certificate of debt. He has wiped it away, and he now forgives you. He offers you forgiveness, but you have to pray and repent of your sin and say, God, I turn from myself, and I turn from my way, and I turn to you. God, would you be the Savior of my life through Jesus? I give you my life. Holy Spirit, would you come into me? I receive you, and God, I give you my life in return. God, you now are my Savior forever. Listen, just that simple message of turning from self and turning to God right now, would you pray that? If you've never experienced the power of Jesus in your life, the presence of God in your life, today's your day. Right now, the blood of Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Right now, you go from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light. Come on, it's your day. Right now, repent, believe, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of you, listen, you've prayed that prayer and you belong to God, but you have allowed the enemy to fool you through lies and through fear and to pull you outside of your position and your authority in Christ. And you now know the pain and the cost of living under the shackles of your own bad choices. And so I want to lead you right now. Listen, I'm going to be praying for you, but I want you to pray along with me right now. Could you just surrender to God? Would you just say to God, Lord, you are the King of heaven. God, you are the Lord of all creation. God, there is none like you, none higher than you, none bigger than you or better than you, more powerful than you. And God, I surrender my desires, my dreams, my hope, my life, my expectations, everything about me. God, we surrender it before you, believing that your way is right and best and perfect. God, we surrender to you and gladly say to you, God, lead us. Gladly, God, you lead me from now on. Secondly, would you confess your sin before God? Would you just say to him, God, I know that I am guilty of anger or lying, God. I was lying. I was yelling at my kids just a while ago, God. Confess whatever it is that you think may be a limb on the line right now. Confess it. Whatever it might be that would break the power of Jesus in your life, confess it right now and claim the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ over you. You're moving back into the center of that protection of hidden with Christ in God. Come on. God, we confess. You cleanse us. You cleanse us. And now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's stand in authority to remove any permission of the enemy. And I'm going to ask you just to whisper out loud or to speak it out loud, even as I'm praying. You're not going to ask the enemy to leave. You're about to tell the enemy to leave. You're about to declare that in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, the enemy must leave. Come on, begin to pray it. Father, in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of your blood, we declare and we say to every spirit of anger or lust, every spirit of immorality or impurity or pornography. God, we say to every spirit of selfishness, every spirit of greed, God, every spirit of envy, God, every spirit of hopelessness or fear or lies, we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave us. Leave me right now. Go to wherever Jesus would tell you to go, but never come back to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, would you baptize me? Jesus, would you fill me right now with your Holy Spirit? I receive you. I receive your work in me. You make me new. You make me whole. You make me right. You make me righteous before you. God, I receive you. Come on, pray that. Believe that God in this moment through this prayer is setting you free. It's the power of Christ for you. God, I declare over my brothers and sisters that what you wash and what you make new is washed and made new. What you forgive, God, nobody can ever bring back against us. God, the power of the enemy is now broken. We stand forgiven and free. We can say to the enemy, flee, and he has to leave. There is a power in the name of Jesus that makes the darkness tremble. And so, God, we stand in that today. God, let today be a day of new beginnings, new life, new hope, God, new freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we receive it. We receive it, Father. Let it move from our head to our heart, to our hands, to our feet, God. Let it come through our mouths. God, let us live in this newfound freedom. Church, listen, we're about to stand up and sing a song that says, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. He has overcome, and we are forgiven and free in him. And when we stand to sing, I hope you worship the Lord. There will be some prayer ministers around the room to pray with you or over you. If you want to take a next step spiritually, if you want someone to pray about anything with you, not just for deliverance, anything, listen, God is here. His Spirit is moving. When we stand, you come. Father, we love you. Receive our worship. Receive this praise. Enemy, hear this declaration and flee from us. God, make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen.